Well, we are here with Beth Seifert. She's our Bible study teacher, and she is taking us through 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful Bible study. You can find all the notes on our Bible Studies tab, along with the podcasts. And we just highly encourage you to use the materials and have your own guided Bible studies. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Well, today we're going to see the battle. It's time for the battle between David and Goliath. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 41 through 58. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Sherem as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. As soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the king of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from the striking down of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Today the battle is on and over. Goliath is finally challenged. And he's unsettled by this challenger. The Israelites sent a boy? This was the best they could do after 40 days? He's handsome, but seriously? What's the meaning of this? This is an insult to Goliath's abilities. They're treating him like a mongrel dog, thinking he'll be defeated by a swift blow from a little stick. And he raises the threat level to David, threatening him with a gruesome death. David's response? "I don't need your weapons, because I come to you with God, whom you have insulted and despised. You shouldn't have done that. Now you're going to die, and I'm going to cut off your head. Many of your friends are going to die too, and you'll be food for the beast, and everyone will know that my God is the true God, because he defeated you using me." David stands his ground so well, and he leaves no doubt in anyone's mind why he is able to stand his ground. Because he knows God. He tells them of their upcoming fate, not to display his prowess, but to let them know that God will be glorified through their defeat after their insolence and insult to God. The battle is God's. Both Israel and the Philistines will be shown the error of trusting in human weapons or human fighters, because God is ultimately in control. Goliath charges at David, and David? He charges right back. He doesn't turn and run away. He faces Goliath, takes one stone, and with that stone, God enables him to kill Goliath. David has no sword, he has no armor, he has nothing to tempt him to place his trust and confidence in except God. David follows through on his threat to Goliath. He runs up to the body, takes Goliath's own sword, after all, David doesn't have one, and cuts off Goliath's head. Gruesome? Yeah. But this was a reminder to everyone around that God had won this battle, and to show that Goliath was truly dead at the hand of David. Now that the giant is gone, Israel finds their courage. I'd like to say that they put their trust in God and realized that if David could kill Goliath with God's help, that they can do anything, but I think they were just relieved that the giant was dead and they were now facing mere mortals. The Israelites charge and chase the Philistines back, killing as they go, and the bodies were strewn about from place to place, again fulfilling David's threat. And then they return and plunder the Philistine camp. David is still keeping track of Goliath's head and Goliath's weapon. The reference of him taking the head to Jerusalem may have been David keeping the skull as a trophy of the victory and taking it to Jerusalem when he makes that his capital. The sword and the armor that he takes is his spoil of war. But eventually David dedicates the sword to God, the true victor of the battle, and the sword ends up with the priest at Nob. Saul's watching the whole thing. I wonder what he felt as he watched it. Was he relieved? Did he feel triumph? Or was he depressed that he wasn't able to rely on God to take care of this himself? Any stirrings of jealousy in Saul? He asks his commanders to find out whose son David is. However, we know that the chronology here is accurate. We saw in verse 15 that David is said to return home from being in Saul's court, and that may seem odd, seeing as how David played the harp for him when he was tormented. But before this, remember, David didn't live permanently with Saul. He was going back and forth from Saul to his own home. So Saul's knowledge of David's family was probably minimal. Also, Saul may have watched David's actions and be wondering if he comes from famous or heroic ancestry, which would have enabled him to fight Goliath. Again, Saul is looking for a human answer to a supernatural question. Still, especially in the chaos of the battle and the men running around, it's easy to lose track of someone and not recognize them, especially from a distance. Notice what Saul actually said. He wants to know whose son David is. He's never met Jesse, remember? Jesse had sent David to Saul when David had been sent for, but Jesse himself had never appeared before Saul. Remember, too, that one of the promised rewards for the man who killed Goliath was the hand of Saul's daughter in marriage. Saul wants to know the pedigree of David since he's about to marry into Saul's family. David goes to Saul, still carrying around Goliath's head, and I just kind of cringe at that. But he lets Saul know who his father is. No one impressive or special, sorry, just a guy. And David is just a man. But a man who understands more about God than Saul ever will. What an amazing battle this was. After 40 days of fear and trembling, this boy steps up, solves the problem, proclaiming all the while that God is the one in control. He keeps pointing everyone back to God instead of keeping the focus on himself. David knows who gives him strength. He is able to walk so confidently into battle with a giant, armed with just a sling and a stone, knowing it's not the weapons that make the difference. David came against Goliath simply with the name of the Lord Almighty, the true God. Man, to have faith like David, to be able to just put it all into God's hands and know that he will take care of you and his will be done. I'm not sure the Israelites got it here, but guess what? You and I can. We can see the whole thing and we can respond to that. Faith like David's is rare, but it's not impossible and it's not unattainable. The one who you put your faith in can help strengthen that faith to the point of David-like faith. It's an amazing God that we serve. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you think the things that you're facing today are insurmountable, look again. With God, you can do anything that He wants you to do. That may sound trite, but it's true. If it's His will, He's going to find a way. When you align yourself with God and His will, you won't be disappointed in what His plans are for you, and you will rejoice at His faithfulness to bring about all the things that you need. Are you rejoicing today?
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.